thinking about January is still fairly new, that we could still count it part of the new year. I look at January and I count it like a gateway for the rest of the year, for the rest of the new year. So I'm going to call this a preparatory message. I've never used that word, but it was spoken to me, seemed like by the Spirit of the Lord, preparatory. And so as we face another segment, and that's also a term that I've never understood or felt that I could look upon a new year and call it a segment, but we've had a number of segments in our past, and we are only facing another segment. There's one thing that I do want to mention, that we all need to realize we are 1 year closer to eternity. Anytime we finish out a year and the coming of the Lord hasn't happened, or we haven't passed out into eternity, then we that are still alive, we are saying we're 1 year closer to the coming of the Lord or to our eternity. So this message today is just a little something that I feel like the Lord wants us to consider as we face a new year. Like I said, it's going to be in two parts. The first part is on the path, and the second part is on the armor. So as I personally stand at this time of the year, I suppose I have felt this way just about every new year, but I sort of envision a path that leads, I'm not able to see beyond a certain part. I might think I can, but it's really a path that we cannot see clearly. And yet God is desiring to lead us in a plain path. The little message made me think of a story of a father that was sending his young son to a distant village. And it was the little boy's first time to go alone. And so the father stood at the beginning of the path, and he gave explicit directions. And he said, "Son, you see down the road where there is a turn? Follow the road and turn to the right or to the left," whatever it was. So his directions were given so that the son could follow the path and he could go to the village and return to his home. I see God in that light with you and me today. We're standing at an unknown year. We're not meant to know what's out before us. God doesn't allow us to know, but he knows. And so he is standing here at the beginning of this path, and he's saying, "My child, can you see a little ways? You follow the path until my spirit tells you to turn." And I'm comforted this morning by the knowledge that God is in the future. He knows what is tomorrow. I don't have to know tomorrow, but he does. And he knows how to lead me in a plain path. There is a scripture in the word of the Lord that speaks to us, and we should have opportunity to know the way. I want to remind us that there is a still small voice that we need to be acquainted with, and we need to learn when it's the voice of the Lord. And he wants to teach us to know his voice as we go on this path. Hosea 6 and 3, it says, "Then shall ye know if ye follow on to know." The other verse that was in my mind is the voice, there will be a voice that will be behind you, and it will say, "This is the way, walk ye in it. If ye should turn to the left or the right, God will guide you and me in the right path." Thank the Lord. I'm thinking also of David in Psalms 27 and 11, and he said, "Teach me thy way and lead me in a plain path." And he had a reason. He said, "Because of mine enemies." Now, David was very concerned about the situations that he was facing. He was running for his life, and he knew he had enemies. He knew that his enemies were hostile toward God. But he was asking the Lord, and this is like a prayer, to teach him how to escape the traps and the ambushes, to teach him how that failure on his part, that he would be prepared for the battles that he would face. I believe the Lord is wanting you and me to be prepared. That's why I think he spoke the word to me, preparatory message. He wants us to be prepared without knowledge, without understanding of what is out before us. So you and I live in a hostile world. We have our enemies. We know that it's not flesh and blood. We're not fighting that kind of a warfare, but we're in a spiritual warfare. But the enemy of our soul wants to destroy us and hinder us. He doesn't want us to be taking up our cross daily and following the Lord. The enemy is also opposing the cause of Christ. So these are our enemies, but you and I have often heard this scripture in Proverbs 14 and 12. And it's always been said that there is a seem right way. So there may be in your path, in my path, something that may seem right. We sort of talked about that in Sunday school this morning. But we have to always remember that the way that just seems right, and we haven't really got the confirmation from the Spirit of the Lord, that it's really a way to destruction. Proverbs 3 and 6, and I'm paraphrasing this, "If we in all our ways acknowledge him, he will direct our path." And what that means is that he will make our paths plain. I believe he wants us to understand. We may not be able to see far out, but we can see that we're on the right way. We can see we're on the right path and that he is leading us. And there is a voice that is telling us, "This is the way, walk ye in it." So I want you to also consider this phrase. It's a familiar scripture, and it's out of Psalms 23, but I'm using only certain phrases of it because I think we can fill in the blanks maybe as we go. But it says, David wrote this, "Though I walk through the valley." I'm just leaving that blank because we can put in the blank whatever we might face in the coming year. He says, I will not fear. And we can leave that blank too. Whatever the Lord is going to, whatever path he's going to lead in this coming year, we can walk through it. And we don't have to be under the spirit of fear. And here's the reason why. For he said, "For thou art with me. If we set our face and believe that God is going to walk with us, whatever he allows in my life, whatever he allows in my path, we don't have to be afraid if his presence is with us. Thank the Lord. There's a little phrase also from 2 Chronicles 15:2. And it says, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. Just a little phrase, but it's so comforting and encouraging that in our Sunday school, we were talking about seeking the Lord and how you do that. And it applies to this scripture right here. I'm going to be seeking his face, because if I'm with him, he's going to be with me. He's going to lead. He's going to direct my steps. He's going to order my life. Thank the Lord. So taking God with us into whatever we have before us, whatever time he permits, you won't lose your way. So I have one little statement that I read this somewhere, and it really left an impression on me, and it's true. It says, live so the Holy Ghost can guide you. You know that I have always wanted and desired for our congregation to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That should be each one of our goals and purposes. And maybe as you face this new year, and if you don't feel like that you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, that could be your goal. That could be your purpose. We're not going to call it a New Year's resolution. Not at all. It's got to be deeper than that. So as we go forward, let's live so that the Holy Ghost can guide us. So in 1 Peter 4:1, there is a small phrase that is going to sort of introduce the next part of our little message this morning. And it says, arm yourselves. It's very important that you and I learn how to arm ourselves spiritually. There are people today that have a license to have a gun, and they feel very armed, and they feel like that they can protect their family because they are armed, and it's legal. They can do that. But oh, how much more important is it for you and me to be armed spiritually, to face the events of life, to face the battles, to face the trials, everything that you and I have to face, we can face them in the power of the Lord Jesus if we are armed. So this little phrase is what we want to speak about now, about to arm yourself is to equip or be ready for action. You know, most of the time, someone that is licensed to carry a firearm, they never know when something is going to happen. But you and I have a God that knows what's going to happen. He's already there, and he knows how to help us to be equipped and ready for action. To arm yourselves is to furnish with weapons, not literal weapons by any means. But the scripture tells us that what our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They will pull down strongholds. They will fight our battles. Thank the Lord. So he has weapons of warfare for us, and he wants us to be equipped and ready for action. But there's another word that came to my mind in connection with being armed, and it's arsenal. An arsenal is a collection of weapons. It's an array of resources for, in our case, for battle. The Lord is desiring for us not only to be armed, but he wants us to have a reserve of resources. The Word of God is so powerful. It will keep me from sinning. The word of the Lord that is hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word of the Lord encourages us in our battles. It teaches us how to fight our battles. We can understand how the Lord is leading my path, how he's directing me, but it will be because I have a reserve. I have the word of the Lord, or I have a song. Many times the Lord uses the songs anointed, and they have messages, and they come to us maybe in the night when we awaken and we're distressed and disturbed. Or maybe they come to us early in the morning, or they come to us throughout the day. Oh, I want to tell you, we can have a great resource of an array of resources besides our normal scriptures can be there to help us to overcome and fight the battles, gain victories. And for this coming year, I hope it's a year of victories. Thank the Lord. So you and I need to build up our arsenal. And today is a good day to start that. So don't wait until you're in the battle. Start before you get in the battle. Well, as I'm thinking of this year, I'm thinking it could be pretty similar to most years in the past. We really aren't familiar with the future at all. But I'm thinking of how that we are focusing so much on the events of the whole world, the COVID, the pandemic. And I believe the Lord is desiring for us to look away from that and focus more on just lose sight of all of the troubles, the political troubles, look away from all of the reports that can distress our hearts and our minds. But I believe he wants us to have a vision. And the scripture says that if the people don't have a vision, they can perish. And I believe that's the warning the Lord is wanting to send this morning. Get our eyes off of the world and all of the problems of the world. Let's focus on our soul and our eternity. And let's focus on those things that will able to help me to surmount the fears and all that happens in our world right now. I know when I get down to pray, and sometimes I begin my prayer like this, and I will say, Lord, I present my soul before you. I believe the Lord is pleased when we present our soul before him. And if we say, be the keeper of my soul. Also the scripture, or maybe it's a song, he's a lover of my soul. And I tell him that, Lord, you love my soul. Well, he loves each one of us, and he is the keeper for each one of us. But when we go before him and present our souls, we're giving him the liberty to put in our life whatever he sees is best. And we can have confidence that it's for the best because of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord tells us that he'll not give us more than we're able to bear, but he will with the temptation make a way of escape. It also says that everything will work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. When we have these weapons in our arsenal and we're believing it, then we will not be soon moved with the ill reports of the world. We will keep our focus in the right direction. So I'm thinking also that there are many, many outside forces that are vying for my attention and for my affections. And it's the same for you. There are many outside forces that are wanting you to dwell upon those forces. It will affect your ability to use your weapons of warfare. It will affect your ability to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. So there's one thing that we need to keep in mind, and I've already said it. We're 1 year closer to eternity. And with every day that passes, we'll be one more day closer to eternity. Always keep a seriousness in your mind that we are eternity-bound souls. So we need to arm ourselves. And I'm going to say most pointedly in our minds. Our minds are very important, that we arm even our minds. You and I need to also understand the importance of putting on the whole armor of God. And probably there have been countless messages preached on the armor of God. And it is very important. And I'm going to basically, I don't want to say run through it, but I have parts of it that is more important to our thoughts this morning. So we need to understand why God has given us an armor and the reason for it, the purpose, the reason, and the reason according to the word is that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The other reason is to stand in the evil day. And I believe we're in the evil day. And I know a common word that is in there in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, about the armor. A lot of it says for me to stand. And we know how that Moses and the children of Israel were standing at a roadblock. They couldn't go back and they couldn't go to the left or the right, and they couldn't go forward. And what did God say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe standing still, when we're commanded to stand still, is one of our weapons of warfare. We don't want to get ahead of the Lord. He's the leader. He's our shepherd. He knows the way. But if I get ahead of the Lord, I'm going to foil his grace. I won't be able to understand his voice. I won't be able to understand the direction he's wanting to lead me. So I need to learn. One of my lessons is when God is saying stand, he's saying stand still, then I need to be obedient to that and not overreact, not be precipitous and think, well, this is what I have to do, or wait on the Lord. And we've tried to say many times to the congregation, in living for the Lord and walking this way, there is a lot of waiting. We have to wait on the Lord. But you know, sometimes the Lord is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to get into a place that he will be able to speak to us and he will be able to lead us. So as we look into the armor of God. It will take every piece of this armor for you and me to even stand, for us to stand at all. There are opposing powers that are working even at this very moment. I'm thinking about the message there at Guthrie on the love of God, and I've just really relished it. I've listened to it more than once. But the ending of that message really spoke to me about the Lord putting a hedge about us. And as long as we are in his favor, doing his will, seeking after him, seeking his face, he's going to keep that hedge up about us. But what Brother Joseph said was, if the hedge comes down, we lose power. We lose power in our prayer. We're not able to pray for others and barely able to pray for ourselves. So part of our armor could be considered this hedge that God is wanting to build around us to protect us from the wiles of the devil. Joseph also said that if we did not have a hedge, he said that the devil would annihilate you. And I believe he's right. It's the love of God, it's the mercies of God to put a hedge about his children, protecting them and yet giving them power at the same time to not only overcome in their own lives, but to be able to pray for others that they too may overcome. So as we look into this armor, there were six pieces that were named out. And I'm not going to go through it exactly in the order, because in my mind, it seemed as though for me, I needed the helmet of salvation first. I mean, how can I fight a battle if I'm on the losing side? If I'm on the side where the enemy is, how can I fight the enemy? But if I have that helmet of salvation, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am justified in my life. My sins are covered with his blood. I don't see how I could ever fight against evil and darkness until I am first redeemed. So to me, it seemed as though that was a very important part of my armor. To be saved, I'm going to add, and sanctified. I want to always encourage us and point us to a sanctified experience, being filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. So the helmet of salvation is very, very important. The next one is, I'm going to call it the belt. It's speaking of being your loins gird about. That's like a belt. But it's the belt of truth. Now, the truth is, the truth holds all of the armor together. Without the belt, it would all fall apart. When I would get into a spiritual battle, it wouldn't be holding together. And the Lord is desiring all of this armor to hold together and work together. So the truth is very important. Seek the truth. God is truth. And he cannot lie. He is only truth. And you and I must seek for all the truth. And, you know, when truth is so important, like if you are a witness, and God's calling for you and me to be witnesses of the truth. But if you are called to be a witness on a, say, at a court, for a case that was being tried, what will they say? will say, you'd have to take a vow that you would tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And that's how God is. He's more interested in truth, truth being believed by you and me, living the truth, accepting the truth, honoring the truth. I honor the truth. The truth will save us. Thank the Lord. But this belt of truth is very important in our armor. And then the other was protection. I'm going to put that in there, protection of righteousness. And when I connect the truth with righteousness, I find that the truth affects or builds my righteousness. And at the same time, righteousness will confirm the truth. So they work together. Then we must take the shield of faith. Faith is vital. Faith is, we might even say, it's the most important. How can you be saved if you don't have faith? It's so mixed in here, and it works together. We had to have a measure. Remember, we had two messages recently, one on a measure of trust and one on a measure of faith. We had to have a portion of faith in order to be saved. And we need faith now. The shield was to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. This is part of our warfare. But faith is most important in just about every aspect of our walk with God. We've got to have a measure of faith. So the sword, the next one was the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, vital, vital that I put myself into the word of God, that I read and consider it. And as I'm listening to messages at camp meeting or in our congregation, I've got my Bible out there and I'm reading some of the scriptures, I'm marking them, and the word becomes so precious and important to building my faith, my righteousness. The truth is built by the word of God, because the word of God is true. So the sword of the Spirit, somebody said one time, speaking of maybe getting in the pulpit, and they picked up their Bible and they said, well, I'm taking my sword with me, you know. We look at the word of the Lord and it is a sword of his Spirit. And then it is the last one that I would like to focus on a little bit. It says, our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So this is the last piece of the armor that is named in that passage in Ephesians. So I would like to sort of dissect this last one, thinking of our feet. Our feet it connects to walking. And our walking represents our Christian walk and our journey to eternity. And I think it connects then with the first part of our little message of the path. Because we're walking in the pathway of the just. So our feet are very important, and we don't always, I haven't really considered our feet as being so necessary in my armor, but it is. I'm thinking of our ordnance services, how that we can get so accustomed, maybe, that we don't really feel the true meaning behind washing our feet. Maybe we don't fully comprehend the importance of the bread and the juice and the breaking of his body. We say all of these things. We pass on out, we go, and I believe the Lord is desiring for us to get very in tune with these ordinances. So we are taught to wash one another's feet. And sometimes the minister will talk about that and say how that's the most uncomely part of the body. It's the part that carries the weight, maybe is dusty. In the Bible times, they wore sandals, and often when they would go in the house, they were presented water to wash their feet. Well, we're not really in that time, but I have found my feet are very ugly. And yet it's got to represent a part of my spiritual walk, because I am walking with spiritual feet. Does that make sense? So my feet represents my walk on this path that the Lord wants to make very plain as it unfolds. He will not lead us wrong. There will be a voice, and the voice will say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Shod. You know what shod means? It says it's shoes of a special kind. So as we have spiritual feet that is walking in a path, and we're to wear shoes of a special kind, what would that be? It made me think of the children of Israel over in Deuteronomy, and it said that God led them 40 years in the wilderness. And then it said their clothing did not wax old, nor their shoes upon their feet. And I believe what the Lord is wanting us to have a vision of is that I'm going to be shod with something that will not wear out, something that will not diminish, something that will carry me to the end of my life, to my eternal life. It's very important that we are shod, have shoes of a special kind. And these shoes are not to wear thin. So then the next word in this little portion is preparation. The beginning of our little message, I told you that the Lord spoke it to me preparatory, that this was to be a preparatory message. And this word preparatory, it means slightly the same as preparation, but just slightly different also. It's preparation for a task or an undertaking. So probably we could say every morning as you face a new day and you know not what an hour will bring forth. And we give ourselves to preparing for whatever the Lord is going to allow in our life. Sometimes there's sudden things that happen and changes your life forever. But we can be prepared. I'm remembering before Jan died, it was probably a couple of weeks before she died, every morning the Lord inspired me with a scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That goes along with our message this morning. He wants to direct our path. And at the time, I was very foolish and ignorant, and we were getting ready to build a house, and I'm thinking, oh, God's wanting me to know how to do that. But it was much more important than that. When I knew she was gone, this verse came back to me, and I said, this is what the Lord wanted me to trust him for. So as God prepares us, hide it in your heart. Be as Mary. Ponder those things in your heart. Keep it. You may not know what it's really meaning if he gives you, inspires a scripture to you or something. But keep it and ponder it and allow it to work at the moment that it's supposed to work. So God is wanting us to be prepared. He wants us to have preparation for a task or an undertaking. Now the word preparation, it's very similar, but it says making ready for an undertaking. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're partly challenging us to be ready. Make yourself ready by being, number one, on the right path, being led of the Spirit. Number two, armed, having an armor, having artillery, having those places that I have been able to get a hold of to use in whatever battle that I face. So preparation in the passage that we have just read about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I believe this means having a solid knowledge. And in the scriptures, having knowledge of what God is doing, especially with our peace. Peace is probably without the peace of God. And where would we be? How would we be able to bear some of the things that come into our life? We couldn't. But it is through that grace and that peace that he gives us that we're able to stand. We can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, as we said. But having the shoes, I sort of wanted to put the scripture now in my own words. Having shoes on our feet that will not wear thin, with the solid knowledge of the gospel of peace. So what is the knowledge that we have of the gospel of peace? Well, as we walk, as we go on the path, and we must constantly be overshadowed by the Prince of Peace. It's his name. It's part of who he is. What he wants for his people is the peace of God. So as I studied the word peace, it came up that it was a Hebrew word that meant peace, was shalom. And when you look into that word, it went into some directions I think we need as we face the new year. It meant complete peace. We're not disturbed. We're not saying, Lord, why? Lord, can't you do it differently? So then it goes to the next meaning. The feeling of contentment. Didn't we have a Sunday school lesson last Sunday on contentment? Don't you know that contentment is great gain? Godliness with contentment is great gain. You can't get it anywhere else. You can try, but it won't last. It's only that great contentment that God can give us, and that's in our peace. It also means wholeness. I am made whole. I belong to God. I am His child. I am His servant. He will keep me. I am whole. I'm not divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. If I'm over here and really just terrorized by fear and doubts, how can I have a complete peace? I have to resist those things that come from the pits of hell. I have to cry out to the Lord, Lord, give me the peace of God, wholeness, soundness, rest. Oh, we've heard some messages lately on rest. God has a rest for the people of God. Thank the Lord. And He wants you and me to enter into that rest. So it all comes with my feet being shod with special shoes that will not wear out, and that I will have preparation. I will be prepared for the gospel, the good news of peace. It also means harmony. We can live in harmony with the Lord, with the Spirit, with His people. We can be in harmony. Thank the Lord. So then the final scripture I want to give to you this morning is John 16:33, and Jesus said it. These things have I spoken unto you, in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. We all know that. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. If I overcome the world, you can overcome those things that hinder our peace. And so our journey, as we journey into the unknown, may we prepare and be prepared. And then Philippians 4:7 says, and may the peace of God, which passeth understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.